I think it's more down to God than die, but there we are. It is exciting to be here with you this evening. So thank you very much for listening to me. So we're here today to celebrate. We're going to celebrate CAP here in Market Drayton. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happens in each of those services. And also tell you a little bit more about CAP a bit more broadly. Obviously, I've only got a short time. I love to talk, but, you know, I've only got a short time. And so I've got to keep it succinct, okay? But if you want to know more afterwards, we're going to be in where you're having coffee and cake, did you hear that, cake? And so do come and have some refreshment and have a chat with us on the table, because there'll always be someone there who would love to chat to you about CAP. And today I've come with Len, my husband, and Len is the CAP Money Local Coordinator in our region, so he's pretty involved in CAP. And I know that you have done CAP Money here previously, and I think at the moment we're looking for somebody to actually take that forward. So sow that little seed maybe in somebody. And also a very special person who's come along is Yvonne. And Yvonne is actually an ex-client, and you're going to hear a little bit from her a bit later on. Yvonne came with me on the 29th of April, 2012. That's right. I had to look it up. I didn't remember. Not to the Methodist Church, but to St Mary's, when we first talked about CAP, which is exciting to know that God used us even at that stage. And that's why, you know, we were thrilled to come back again today to just talk some more and meet some more, because how much it's grown in that time. And that is just fantastic. And, you know, we give the praise to God for that. So Len and I first got involved with CAP, we think about 9 years ago, when we became CAP money coaches. I then went on to be the debt centre manager in Wolverhampton. I did that for 6 years. And it's quite a family affair too, because our daughter works for CAP in New Zealand, and our son, she did start in UK, so, and then she moved, you know, so you have to be careful, don't you? And then our son has recently become a life skills manager in Bolton in his church. So, it is really a family affair. But, you know, the thing I can honestly say now is it's different from when I came in 2012, is that I'm more passionate. People often say, you know, you're passionate about CAP, aren't you? And somebody recently introduced me at our churches. This is Di, she's CAP, you know. And I am, but I'm more passionate now. And I'm more passionate because I've seen the lives changed. I only have to look around our own church to see those people who are there praising God and worshipping God and just look peaceful. Whereas I remember some of them when I first went to see them, and they were not in that position. They were, a lot of them were lonely, depressed, and yes, suicidal. So that's what makes me passionate about it. Because not only that they're debt-free, but they're also truly free, because they found Jesus. And, you know, I found Jesus in a Methodist church 43 years ago. Or he found me, I should say, shouldn't I? But, you know, I entered that church. I don't know why I entered that church. I had no intention of going to church. I was 19. It was my last ditch try. It really was. And for some reason, I ended up in that church in Sheffield. And I was loved into the kingdom. I was so loved. I didn't become a Christian straight away. They loved me for quite a long time until I said, what's different? What is this? You know. And then I came to Jesus. So whenever I come back to a Methodist church, it's like going back to your hometown, isn't it? I feel at home. I feel comfortable, you know. So it's just really exciting to be here today for that reason as well. And I know that many of you here many of you here will know about CAP already. It won't be new to you. And I know that you'll be supporting it financially. Some of you will be volunteering, praying, or giving your time to CAP. And, you know, tonight is about thanking you for that as well. Because without you, without every one of you doing whatever you can do, CAP wouldn't exist. And certainly CAP Market Drayton wouldn't exist on all the services that are happening here. So please know we are really grateful to you. And it's just nice to be here to say it in person. But it may be that CAP is fairly new to you. And if this evening, while I'm talking, or anyone else is talking, you just feel that little prompt from God, don't sit on it, okay? Act on it. I always think back to that first prompt I had from God. If I hadn't acted then, I'd still be working in the NHS probably, and yeah, happy, but how much happier I've been doing this. I know that. You know, I know I'm where God wants me. So don't ignore any prompts. At the end, come and talk to us, okay? There's many things that you can get involved in. And the three CAP service managers are all here. So we've got Jill, and we've got Carol. You know, do come and talk to one of us if you want to talk specifics about each group. But it's no coincidence that I am here in Mental Illness Awareness Week. And you've probably all been hearing about, you know, a lot about mental illness recently, which is good. I think we should be. It is, I'm sure we'd all agree, a really big problem in our society. The statistics say that one in four of us will suffer at some point in our lives. So today, on this Your CAP Sunday, we're going to uncover how poverty, debt, unemployment and addiction can create a storm of mental health issues. But we're also going to celebrate how God is using CAP and us, the church, to calm that storm and bring God's peace into thousands of people's lives. And you will get the opportunity to get involved by praying, by giving time, or by giving financially to CAP, whatever you can do. So let's turn to the Word. Mark 4, 35 to 40, a story that we'll know pretty well. Jesus calms the storm. So Mark 4, 35 to 40 says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats did follow. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they said to each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." So yes, the disciples were in deep trouble. They were in the middle of a rough storm in open water. This wasn't just any old storm. Matthew calls it a seismos, the Greek word for earthquake. Their fishing boat was being wildly tossed about in the sea. The enormous waves were crashing all around them. Water was filling up their boat. They were trapped in a storm that looked like it would sink their boat at any minute. They were running out of time. They didn't know what to do. They were terrified. They could see no way out of this situation other than death. You can hear the panic in their voices when they finally found Jesus asleep and said, "Don't you care? We're going to drown." This is a vivid picture of panic, anxiety, fear and hopelessness that comes from being trapped in the storm of poverty, trapped in the storm of debt, relentless wave after wave of bills and demands that you just can't pay, living in fear of every knock at the door, every letter and every phone call, No one will listen to you. You've tried everything. Not even eating to pay the bills. That's like 67% of our clients missed meals before they came to CAP. But it makes no difference. The debts just keep spiralling. You can imagine hiding, scared, or maybe trapped in the storm of unemployment. Every rejection letter adds to the feelings of worthlessness. You've tried so hard, but you don't seem to be getting anywhere. Waves of rejection keep flooding over you. Or trapped in the storm of addiction. Even though you know it's wrecking your life and relationships, you do it again. You have no control. Trapped in the current and swept along by your addiction, living with constant regret. Just to give you a flavour of the problem, 2.6 million children live with parents who drink hazardously, and one in four adults smoke. So you feel so alone. No one knows that you're out of your depth. You keep it hidden, thinking you're the only one. Your shame keeps you silent. At the school gate, sat beside you in the office, there isn't a type of person that falls into these traps. It can affect anyone. Debt can affect anyone because of a change in circumstances, bereavement, family breakdown, unemployment. There is no escape from the deep swirl of anxieties and worries in your mind. You can come up for air every now and then, but they keep pulling you back. Poverty and debt's most physical effects visible effects are physical, but the most damaging impact is on people's emotional and mental health. People like Kylie, whose story we're going to hear shortly. And that's why 75% of CAP clients sought medical help on account of anxiety, depression or stress. 38% considered suicide as the only way out, with a shocking 11% of our clients actually attempting it. I remember going into a home of a gentleman quite a few years ago now and called the helpline. But when I got there was a real heaviness in the room. And they went on to tell me, there was a mom and a dad and two teenagers. They went on to tell me that the teenagers had come home from school twice to find this father having attempted to hang himself in the house. It's heartbreaking sometimes, this job. But God calls us to come into these lives because we can help. We were able to set up the budget for him. They both lost their jobs because they worked at the same place. They'd had good jobs. They'd lost it. And they just couldn't get out of it without help. But we managed to get a budget sorted out. We contacted the creditors. We did everything that CAP does so well. And we sorted them out. And to see those people just relaxed and the children actually back to enjoying being teenagers was a real joy. And you know, it's in these moments when we're desperate, when we feel we're out of options, there's no hope, and we're looking around in panic trying to see a way out. It's in those moments that we feel like God is asleep and that we cry out, "Don't you care, we're going to drown." Just as the disciples called upon Jesus for help, thousands of people are crying out to us for help. Every 6 minutes, somebody in the eye of the storm is ringing CAP's helpline, crying out for help. They're ringing CAP, but they're calling upon the church. They're calling on God's people. That's you and me. Because it's in that moment they need Jesus' representatives to step out into the boat with them, to speak to the wind and the waves, and to calm the storm of UK poverty and say, "Be still." He calls us to be his ambassadors and speak for him in 2 Corinthians 5:20. He calls us to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, to defend the poor and needy in Proverbs 31:8-9. He calls us to calm the storm of poverty in Market Drayton. He wants to use us, his church, to be channels of his peace that calm the waves of anxiety, stress and depression. And I know as I look on this church's website and I look at your vision and your values, that's exactly what's on there. That's what you want to do. I know that's what you want to do. I know that's your heart. And that's exciting. And that's why these CAP services are running in this area. That's why these three managers and all their team, and it's not a little team, I know that there's a lot of people that are involved in it. That's why they're there, because they want to see help come to these people. As we just look around this estate as we drove in, you know, I think they say about 1 in 8 houses is in unmanageable debt. There's a lot of need out there. There's a lot of people drowning. And that's why, exactly why, thousands of people and hundreds of churches all across the UK choose to partner with CAP by giving their time and also their money. So this is what your churches are doing through your CAP Debt Centre, and Jill, Carly and her team, so as well as another 296 around the UK. So Jill and her team of befrienders will visit clients in their own home. They give support and love, and our award-winning debt counselling teams get to work at head office. So Jill will collect up the paperwork, and I can assure you sometimes it's a lot of paperwork and it's a lot of chaos, but she makes sense of it, creates a budget that will give people a way out of their debt and a future filled with hope. And that means the budget means that their rent and their bills will be paid on time. A food allowance means clients can buy proper meals for their family. It means electricity is being paid so they can heat their house in winter. We don't pay any clients' debts for them. We enable them to pay them with what they have. But we speak up for our clients by negotiating with the creditors, those they owe money to, those that they can get, so that we can get unfair interest charges and stopped or reduced, and affordable repayment offers set up. Things that you can't do as an individual, they don't listen to you. The number of times I've been in, and I'm sure Jill will say the same thing, and you ring one of the creditors, and they're very polite to us when we tell them who we are, and they listen to us, and they give us a sympathetic ear, and the client will say, well, they don't speak to me like that. You know, they won't even listen to me, or they won't let me do, you know, and it's true, they don't. You know, they need somebody to speak up on their behalf. So we silence the noise of constant phone calls. That's something Yvonne talks about in her story, how the phone calls and the endless demands stopped once CAP got involved. Those relentless bills dropping through the door and the knocks from the bailiff. That is terrifying for people. It'd be terrifying for me. You know, the thought that somebody's coming to take away your property. That's what it actually means. People often don't know what their rights are. And these bailiffs aren't always, you know, they've got a job to do, haven't they? And, you know, and they don't always make it easy for the clients. Some of them are absolutely lovely, I have to say. So we're just there with people. We're there with them through all this. We don't just set these budgets up and then walk away. You know, Jill and her team stick with these people. The befrienders stick with these families. And as a lot of you will know, we do an awful lot more than that. We draw them in to the family of the church because people need to belong. They need to belong and they need to find Jesus. And so we give them that opportunity as well. We always offer to pray with our clients and encourage them into any church events that may be going on in our areas. We tell them about Jesus. They can choose, but we tell them, because everybody should hear about Jesus and what he's done for them. And you know, it really worked. We were surprised ourselves when we did a survey to discover that 93% of our recently contacted debt-free clients stayed out of debt, and 82% still use a budget to stay in control of their money. That speaks for itself, doesn't it? And that's why Martin Lewis can't sing our praises highly enough. Quote him by saying, "CAP are unsurpassed when it comes to debt help." So what do we do through our job clubs? This is what Carol is doing each week with her job club, one of 162 job clubs that we have across the UK. So Carol and her volunteers will sit down with people who are currently in the storm of unemployment and rejection. They welcome people into a loving community that builds their confidence and beliefs in themselves. I've been there, I know she does. Which month after month of rejection letters knocked out of them. And over an 8-week course, they will teach them practical skills, how to perform well in an interview, how to write a great application and CV. But they also receive coaching sessions, helping them to quiet the noise of what seems an unsurmountable task of finding employment, and create a calm space for them to discover for themselves what they want to do and realise their own potential. Then help them take simple, practical steps on the road to employment. I receive all the reports from around the country about people that have found work, and when I look through them, very often the thing that has helped people most is that they've had their confidence built up just by being there, and that's because they're being loved. You know, it doesn't happen in every job club. It happens in the job clubs where Jesus is. And that's the difference. And we have seen a staggering success rate of 42% of members finding work. Unprecedented. Put another way, every working day, 3 people find work thanks to Christians Against Poverty. And then we've got our release groups with Jill Alexander. And this is what she's doing. She's one of 78 across the country. And Jill and her team, again, sit down with people who are currently in the storms of addiction. They welcome people who have identifying long life-controlling habits such as smoking, drinking, gambling, and they give them the tools they need to stop. Again, they're welcomed into a loving community that provides a safe and confidential space for people to bring their problems into the open. First steps to calming the storm of addiction. And the 8-week course is based on the well-known 12 steps program, which helps members to identify triggers and helps them to set up meaningful freedom goals and work towards them. So you see, what you are doing in Market Drayton is amazing. And thank you so much for all the people you're helping. We do have another course, and that is what we call life skills. And I know that certain people are definitely, including myself, are definitely praying that that group gets established here so that you can help people in all circumstances. And the life skills is again about providing that community, give a safe and confidential space that allows people to bring their problems into the open. And it enables members to budget, to manage competent household needs, manage competing household needs, compare complex financial products, how to shop, how to cook and live well on a low income. It isn't easy, and not everybody has the skills to do it. And like all our groups, all our work, we give them peace and self-worth. That is one of our aims. In Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." We're calming the mental storm of worries and anxieties about poverty and debt so that people can hear God and know him, so they have the space to open their mind and hearts to God. And that's why we're seeing over 1,000 people a year becoming Christians through our work, all in partnership with amazing churches and amazing groups of churches like your group here. Okay, so we're going to watch Kylie's story now. And it's just a few minutes long, but it is quite moving. So let's just watch that.
It's dark, this place. Oppressively dark. At sea, open waters, deep trouble. It drowns me. No one knows that I'm way out of my depth, that I'm in debt. Keep swimming, the shore can't be far. But I've been out here for days, or is it months, years? Alone. I am alone. That's the worst part, that no one knows. I never thought that would be me. I never thought I'd feel so weak. I never thought I would struggle to give my kids what they need, but they need, and I have nothing to give. If I blur out this ocean, this black, this blue, it hurts less. I feel less. My mind in tatters, gripped by anxiety. When was the last time I laughed, smiled? When was the last time I breathed? Without taking in water. I just don't know what happened, how I got here, how I fell into the struggle of not eating, of ends not meeting, of hungry, of cold, of lonely, endlessly attacked by these waves of darkness and despair and devastation, of threats and guilt and accusation, of day after day, debt after debt, depression, rock bottom, wave after wave. Does it never end? They're building and breaking. They're breaking. I'm breaking. I throw all my might into this one sound. Save me! Save me! Quiet. What is this sound? I'm not sure I've heard it before. Stillness. What is it? I don't think I've ever felt like this. A hand reaches for me. You reached for me. You pulled me out of the water and wanted nothing in return. I felt warm in my skin, warmth in my soul. For the first time in years, I saw light. Brilliant light, like first thing in the morning, blazing the darkness, the end of the night. Unconditional support, inexhaustible kindness, a peace that surpassed all conceivable understanding. You saw me. You find me, you lift at me, and I breathed. At last.
praise God that he can bring true light in the darkness and hope in the midst of despair. And today, brought some books. Cap, we love a bargain. And this is the biggest bargain you'll ever get. It's free. So, you know, there's enough for you to have one. Come to the desk in where we drink refreshments afterwards, and we'll happily give one. And it tells Cap's story through the eyes of our founder, John Kirkby. It's taken from his diary. So it's raw and it's real, and it proves God's faithfulness. All you have to do is on a chair near you, there should be one of these forms and a pen to go with it. And on the back, it's just a place for your details. So this is just, you've just fill in your name and your address and then bring that to us. We'll exchange that for a book. Okay, but we do need the form, but we can do the book. That goes in our database. We don't sell it on to people. We don't pass it on to anybody. It just goes on our database. And through that, we can keep you updated with the work of CAP and what you can pray for and what you can help us with. So do come and get your book. It is worth reading. It's got a price on the back, so even if you don't want to read it, you could give it away for Christmas. It could be a Christmas present. You know, sow the word out there. Somebody would be grateful for it. And if you do want to read it and then pass it on. Also, if you have read that book, we have got some other books as well, which are stories of clients and CAP people's lives that have been changed through CAP. So if you've read that one but you want a different one, bring your card to the table and just tell us. Okay. And I'm going to ask Yvonne now just to come and share for a few minutes. She's got a fantastic story. She hasn't got time to share it all, but she's just going to share a little bit about it and what God's doing through her now.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, CAP's amazing. For myself, being in debt and being in that place where letters are coming through the post daily, pile on pile, and just being unable to open them. Never thought I'd ever be in that position. You used to hear about people do that, and you'd think, why don't they just open the letters? But I found myself in that position, unable to do it. Having the pressures of the phone calls from creditors, ringing morning, noon and night, ringing first thing in the morning, crack of dawn, and last thing at night. So it became so that I'd have to unplug the phones, because when I'd be thinking, it'd probably be a friend ringing, it would be a creditor, and I didn't know what to say to them. So it was just easier to unplug the phone, so I just cut myself off from people. Throughout this debt, while I was going through the situation, I had a friend who knew of a friend who worked as a befriender for CAP, and she used to say, why do you give CAP a ring? Christian Against Poverty. And I thought, what do they know, Christian Against Poverty? She goes, give them a ring, they're really good. You know, they can help. And it took me a year after when she first asked me to give them a ring to ring them, because it's just something you do. You don't really... It's just hard to make that first call, actually. But anyway, I made that call, and it was just a nice, gentle voice at the end of the line. And, you know, they just took my details and said, somebody be in touch, and it was Di. And the first thing she just said was, you know, not to worry. We'll book an appointment, but if anybody rings, just let them know CAP's involved. And it was such a relief just to actually pass on that information to somebody else and start to do something about this debt, because obviously you have debt, and my intention is always to pay my debt, but it's just how you get around to do with it, because you just feel so overwhelmed. Anyway, she came down, and she I had to get all my details together, all my paperwork, which she did, and she showed me a video of CAP's journey, and did I wanted to go along, and I thought, yes, I'll go along that journey. And CAP set up a budget plan for me, and I paid into it. Anyway, while this was going on, I had issues with a builder who, in a way, that's when my debt sort of came about, was I was having work done on my house, but the builder didn't do the work and took my money, and I was left with an unfinished property, really. And it was making me distressed. I had this hatred for this man. And if I could have got rid of him, I would have. And when Cap had come along at the beginning, they just says, "Oh, we've got an alpha course starting if you'd like to go along." And I didn't really want to go do an alpha course. But, you know, when somebody helps you, you like to think you're grateful and you're thankful and you'd sort of go along with. So that's what I did. So I went along this alpha course and I found it quite interesting. I mean, I made sure that I gave them all the difficult question because I was determined. I was absolutely determined that I was no interest and I was going to be that person who, whatever they said was good, I was going to say the opposite. But anyhow, I found it, I really enjoyed it, and I think they had a day called the Holy Spirit Day, and the girls, "Would you like Holy Spirit?" And I went, "No." And the reason why I didn't want the Holy Spirit was because I've just got this anger for this builder bloke. Because, as I said, it was just consuming me. I was just consumed with hate for this man. And I says, "I don't know Holy Spirit, but I just want this hatred for this man to go away." And they says, "Well, we can pray for that." And I says, "All right." And so they prayed for me. Didn't think nothing of it. Went home. And when I went home, normally when I walk into my living room where I can see the kitchen, and there's no kitchen, this anger used to come up. But that day, after I've had the prayers, I went home and opened the door, walked in, and there was nothing, and I thought, So I went into the kitchen and I sort of stood, and I looked at the emptiness, and there's still no hatred. So I thought, "No, I'll say his name." So I said his name a couple of times, and there's still no hatred, and I thought, "Gosh, this is amazing." Now, they prayed, and it's completely gone. I thought, "Wow, boy, this God must be good." You know what I mean? It's completely gone. I thought, "Wow." So anyway, it went, and I never thought nothing of it, but I found myself, I was invited to go along to the church, and, you know, I went along, and it wasn't too bad. I liked it. And they were saying things, you know, got sort of a bit of values, the same values what I've got, and I thought, "Oh, it's not too bad." So I went along each week, and then people were just really nice, and I just found myself going each week, which I never thought I would do. And before I knew it, I don't even know when it happened, but I sort of gave my life to the Lord, and they had a baptism, and I got dipped. And it was really good. And for me, I just think about Cap of what the, you know, if Cap hadn't come along, I definitely wouldn't have gone to church. Definitely wouldn't. I mean, I had no interest. I mean, my brother was a Christian and I used to go, "I don't want to hear it, I don't want to know, nothing." But when you see an organisation who are genuinely, genuinely just care and love, because a lot of time people speak, but it's not the speaking, it's the actions. And the action showed, and I wasn't judged. They just accepted me for who I was. And I know Di will tell you when she first used to come, they used to go, "Can we pray?" And I'd go, "No, I don't want no prayer." But you know what? They used to pray outside in the car. I used to think, what they're sitting out there doing? But they used to pray, and I just found that, I found really that when I was in the debt, it was like a big, heavy darkness over me. But going through and accepting Christ, it just felt a big weight lifted off me. I felt lightness. I felt I had hope. I felt that I wasn't alone anymore. There was somebody there. And I really trust and believed in Jesus. And, you know, my journey with Cap, I was under Cap for 5.5 years, and I became debt-free last year, March 2016. And all through that journey, I participated with activities that did. I became a befriender. I just wanted to share what Cap has done, what Cap and Christ has done for me, really, because I know I'm a completely different person. For a start, I'm talking and sharing my story, and I'm very private, something I would normally wouldn't do, but I just have to share this, because when God does something good for you, you've got to share it. And that's just what I'm doing. And, you know, I just feel that I've got purpose, I've got life. More importantly, I've got life, I've got purpose. I don't feel empty, and I just love to share and talk about God to other people. I really do. I never thought I'd be talking about God, but I do. I could talk about him all day long, and I just love it. And I think as a befriender, having the experience as a CAP client, I'm able to share with other CAP clients that, look, there is a journey's end, there is hope, and you will succeed, you will get through it, and it's only joy at the end, not sorrow. Okay.
She's wonderful, isn't she? She now takes people to Alpha, and she's doing lots through our CAP Centre, so we're very grateful to Yvonne, as well as coming out with me to speak all over the place. She's got a great story, so that's lovely. So, let's just tie this up together. Jill's going to come out in a moment and tell you what is needed. There's always needs. You know, you've got these three services that are running, but within those services there are needs. And Jill's going to just come out and tell you what gaps there are, and maybe God's just prompting you that, you know, you're the right person to fill one of those gaps. But I just want to finish off. You know, we heard Kylie's story, and that was dramatic, you know, and we've heard Yvonne's story. That didn't sound so dramatic, but it's just as dramatic, you know, and every story is. And so we are here to help people out of this crisis. But to do that, obviously, it takes money. It takes more than that. It takes prayer. And so please don't think that I'm only here asking for money. I'm not. If you can pray, then that is the absolute bedrock of CAP. Please do that. But I also know that many of us are able to give a small amount to CAP, and that's what I'm asking for now. You know, CAP only exists because there's 28,000 people, other Christians usually, who've joined together to give regularly to CAP. We call them life changers, which is brilliant. They changed Yvonne's life. If you're a life changer, you sowed into changing Yvonne's life and Kylie's life and all the other thousands of lives that are changed. So tonight, can I ask you, will you give some money to help these clients and people like them? It may be £5 you can afford, it may be £15, but even if it's not even £5, even if it's less, then please consider becoming a life changer and just giving into this amazing work. There's also an opportunity to join John Kirkby's Vision Sponsors. So if you're able to give £50 a month, and I know most of you will be going, what? But there may just be one person here who God is speaking to like that. And if that is you, then that may be for you. John will be working with the Vision Sponsors with news and a personal view inside all we do and throughout our centre network. So if you do sort of feel, yes, I would like to do that, I am in a position to do that, then if you just mark on your form when you bring it to me, then that would be great. I can talk to you more about that. And if you are already a life changer, thank you. Thank you again. We really appreciate you. But if you would like to give, then this form again, if you just want the book, you're not signing up to give then, you're just putting your name and your details on the one, in the one box. Don't worry, we won't take money from you unless you specifically say. But if you would like to give a small amount or a large amount, we're not fussy, each month, then there's a direct debit side as well that you can fill in. Now you might be thinking, yeah, I'd like to give, but I need to go home and talk to whoever's at home, or just pray about it. That's fine. If you just give us your contact details, we'll contact you in the next couple of weeks and work out the details with you. But, you know, we need givers. We need people to give to this work. So thank you. But as I say, if, you know, you're not in a position to give, that's absolutely great. We're not trying to put any pressure on anybody. But please pray, because that's something we can all do. Or please listen to Jill now and get involved. Okay. And thank you for listening to me. I know I've gone on quite a long time. But thank you. Do bring your forms for your book or to sign up as a life changer. Or just come and chat to us in the back. And Jill's just going to finish it off by telling you what she needs here in Market Drayton. Thank you.
Yeah, just before I say what we need, where the gaps are, I just want to say, if it wasn't for Di and Yvonne coming to St Mary's back in 2012, I didn't realise it was that long ago, actually, that I wouldn't be here today telling you, you know, asking for more help for CAP. And Jill Alexander, wherever she's disappeared, there she is up the back, and Carol as well. You know, it's really grown so wonderfully from June 2014. But it was actually back in 2012 when they came and spoke that something sort of touched me that day. And I thought, and I was happy in my work as well, a bit like Di. I was, you know, happy doing what I was doing, but something sort of stirred me, and then the journey went on. And if anybody was here back in September 2013, it was an Act 7, and I think it was Mark had said something about we want people to share. If anything's happened to them over the summer, come up and say what it is. And that summer, I actually met, purely by chance, but it was obviously God, John Kirkby, when I was on holiday in France. And he just, and he's the founder of CAP, and that just sort of all played into this, you know, this prompting I had. You know, how on earth do you meet the founder of CAP when you yourself feel you're being drawn to CAP? It was absolutely incredible. So that's what I shared at the Act 7 that particular, that evening. And even when I was sharing that, I felt like I was being called to CAP in some way. I didn't know that I would actually end up being the centre manager, and that happened the next year. So with all that, what we're actually looking for, because we're always happy to get volunteers all the time, but there are just a couple of specific roles that we're looking for at the moment. One's a grants and funding administrator. So if anybody's happy to search for grants, search for funds to help all the services, the CAP services, if that's your bag, you like sort of detail and writing off application forms. I'm afraid I don't really, but perhaps somebody does, and me and Gail sat down on Friday afternoon and put something together. If somebody thinks, yeah, I'd actually like to do that, there's that role. And there's another one, it's a publicity person, so somebody to sort of go around our area, because it's not just the town of Market Drayton we serve. We go across to Ashley, Loggerheads, over to Hodnett, down to Sandbrook, and it's quite a large area we serve, and it's trying to get the message out that there's debt help, there's a release group, there's a job club, it's free, and please come and use us and get help. So it's somebody really who wants to tell people that message. And that would mean sort of going to, I don't know, village halls, or going dropping into, you know, other areas where you can just say a little bit and promote CAP. And the last one is, we're looking for a CAP money coach. Di briefly mentioned about a money coach or money course, and that is a budgeting course. It's different from the life skills. It's actually to get groups of people together and go through quite a simple budgeting course with them over 3 sessions of 2 hours a session. So if anybody wants to come on board with that, CAP provide all the training. They're very good at making sure everybody's equipped and they know what they're doing. So we've got three particular roles there, and if anybody feels prompted in any way, come and have a word with me over the tea and the cakes in a bit. Thank you.